Good morning. I want to welcome all of you here to our services today. We're delighted to have you here with us. We are thankful for the opportunity to be able to come together and to worship God and to sing songs of praise to Him. That's the purpose for our being here, and we're thankful that you have come to join us in that. We're thankful also to have many of the family members of our dear sister Sue McCaleb with us this morning. We're here with Alan, her son, and Joe, her daughter, and Marcia, her daughter, and her sister. And we're thankful that y'all are here with us today. Again, many of you are aware that we're heartbroken because Sister Sue passed away last night. And there's going to be a real, real empty place here at our congregation because she's not with us. I can't remember when it was that Sue first came to Flint. It was after Tara and I moved here. I don't know if it's been 12, 13, or 14 years, but I think it's been somewhere in that neighborhood. And from the very first time that she came here, we have just loved her. And she has been such a valuable part of our congregation. And she would come to our ladies' Bible classes, and she would be involved with that. And I'm here to say that in the course of my being able to be here and be involved in ladies' Bible class, although I taught the class, it was me who got to sit at the feet of some spiritual giants. And I think of Sue McCaleb as one of those spiritual giants. We'll change our attendance charts next month. We won't be putting a check by her name anymore for attendance here. But this isn't the chart that's most important. I truly believe she got a check on God's rule. She's there. And we're thankful for that and for her life and her influence. And we just want her family to know how much we loved her and how much we love y'all and how much she's was about a part of our congregation and is going to be missed tremendously. Now, if I can compose myself, I'll do what Sue really would want me to do, and that's stand up here and deliver a message from God's Word. Because that's why we're here, to study from God's Word. And again, we're glad that you are here with us for that. It seems like we hear more and more about individuals who are struggling to keep their faith in God these days. And my heart breaks and aches when I think about the many people who fall away from the church. Sometimes I think about individuals with real issues in their lives, and you know these individuals, you see them. I wonder how they will ever overcome some of the obstacles that they seem to be facing in order to enter the joy of the Lord. And there's a lot of people who are out there and they are wandering, lost in this world. They don't know the Lord. They've never come in contact with the understanding of Jesus Christ and who He is and what joy He can bring to their life and how He can bless their life. And I wonder about those. I think, how in the world are they ever going to overcome some of the setbacks and the obstacles to get to the point where they enter the joy of the Lord? And then I'm reminded of many young people. Many of the young people that would live here and have grown up in our congregation to leave home, go off to college, fall away from the church and forget about God. Often we look for reasons why. We try to rationalize that there must be some negative thing that's happened in their life to sour them to the idea of Christianity, and we just don't understand. Yeah, I want to share an example with you of a young man. And maybe it sounds similar to some of the situations that you have heard of. A young man who lost his mother when he was just a child. A young man who wound up being the black sheep of the family. And you've probably known these individuals, the obstacles that they've had in their life. A young man who didn't finish school, and in the sense is what we think of school, but maybe he went on, as we're going to see in a moment, to get an education in the school of hard knocks. He lived a hard life and didn't get an education out of books or out of the school, but got an education in life. A young man who suffered from domestic abuse and the pain of that. When you think about the problems with family, the loss of a mother at a young age, the domestic abuse suffered in the home, the ridicule perhaps, or the isolation because of being the black sheep in the family, who was forced to take a thankless job in order to survive, just to try to get some work somehow, was surrounded by terrible influences, people that were more concerned and enamored with materialism and worldliness, and maybe they were people that were immoral and prone to those types of problems in their lives, the lusts of the flesh. A man who did a stint in jail. You think about the obstacles facing this young man, and we've talked about some of the problems that people face when they leave home and they go off and they fall away from God. And you look at a person like this and you say, see all of the setbacks, all the negative things that have happened in this individual's life. How are they ever going to be able to enter the joy of the Lord? How are they going to be able to overcome these things? Then I think about the young man who became a ruler of Egypt. Saved at least two nations. Yes, everything that I described in the slide before, that's a description of the life of Joseph. And you can read about that life in Genesis chapter 37 through 50. And you go back and you think about those things again. Think about how his mother, he lost his mother at a young age while she was giving birth to his younger brother. You think about how that he wound up being the black sheep of the family. His brothers didn't like him. Why? Because his father preferred him. And so all the brothers, they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to find some way to get him out of the picture. He didn't finish his education there because he was taken from his home. He suffered from the domestic abuse. The domestic abuse I'm talking about is these brothers that threw him in a pit and wanted to kill him. And then sold him into slavery. And so there was domestic abuse in this family. He left home and like I said before, he got an education in the school of hard knocks because he was thrown to the fire. He was forced to take a thankless job as a slave in order to survive. He was surrounded by immoral individuals and people that had no regard for the Almighty God. Because he was involved with some folks and at the wrong place at the wrong time, and you've known of people like that, wrong place, wrong time, he did a stint in jail. All of the things that we described, they described this young man. So, the question is, how was this young man able to remain faithful to God? How? When we think about our children that are raised in loving families that bring them to services all the time, and they walk out of our homes and they go off into the world and they're gone. What was different about this young man that caused him to remain faithful to the Lord when for far less people are falling away? People that don't have as many challenges that he faced in their life, and yet they cannot remain faithful. So how was this young man able to do it? Well, that's what I want us to talk about today. And I want you to go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, because the things that we're going to talk about concerning Joseph today are going to apply to Jesus there at the crucifixion. So how was it? Well, in order to overcome these obstacles and remain faithful to God, we have to have a certain mentality. And I believe that Joseph had this mentality about him, and I want to share that mentality with you. This is what we have to say if we're going to remain faithful to God. Number one, I will not allow my circumstances to define me. I'm not going to allow that to happen. Joseph did not allow his circumstances to define him. It didn't matter where he wound up, whether he was in the pit with his brothers or whether he was down in Egypt as a slave or in prison. He did not allow his circumstances to define him. He didn't give up and he didn't quit. Now, I can imagine if my family hated me and wanted me gone, I'd be a little bit depressed, don't you? I would imagine that if I am having to do a thankless job as a slave because I've been thrown out of the home where I enjoyed comfort, I'd be a little bitter. And now that I'm in jail, at the wrong place, at the wrong time, at no fault of my own, I would probably throw my hands up and say, that's it, I quit. Enough's enough. God, I have remained faithful to you. Why am I in this spot? Why am I here? He did not allow his circumstances to define him. He did not quit. He did not throw up his hands and say, that's it. It's over with. I might have done that. I might have said, you know, that's just enough. I can't go through anymore. How many of us have said that before? How many of us have said, I just can't take anymore? I can't take it. He says, I'm not going to allow my circumstances to define me. I'm going to remain faithful to God. God Almighty. Now, I go to Matthew chapter 27, and I invite you to do the same. And I want us to look at verses 29 through 38. Actually, we're going to begin in verse 27. It says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there, and over his head they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left, and those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads. Now, you think about the circumstances. Jesus was on a cross. A cross reserved for the vilest of criminals in that society. How can we torture this person the most? We think this guy is so bad that we want to punish him to the extent that it is so painful that people can't even imagine it. Let's do that. But he did not allow the circumstances to define him, even though he had all the power in the world to destroy the people that were crucifying him and to come down off of that cross. I'm not going to allow the circumstances. I'm not a robber. I'm a Savior. Jesus knew who he was. Circumstances didn't define him. If I'm going to remain faithful to God, I can't allow my circumstances to define me when there are obstacles that I face in my life. Folks, nobody has ever said that the world isn't going to knock you down, that there aren't going to be problems that you face in life, but you can't let the circumstances define you. Know who you are. Know that you're a child of God. You're His creation. If you'll do that, you can remain faithful to Him. The second thing that we need to understand is this. I will not allow my company to deter me. I will not allow my company to deter me. Now, you think about Joseph, and he's got all of these brothers that are ugly to him and are trying to deter him. Now you've got him down in Egypt, and he's got Potiphar's wife who is trying to get him to commit a sin with her that would dishonor God and would dishonor him. And would be an offense to his master's house. Hey, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to allow my company to deter me. You think about while he was in prison. I can't imagine that he was in prison with the best sort of fella. That's generally not the place where the best sort of fella resides. Am I correct? Generally, prison is reserved for what? Those folks that have committed crimes, either against society or they've committed some heinous act, and they are there in the prison for a reason. So you think about the company. Maybe they were trying to influence him to do wrong, but all through this, Joseph remains faithful to God. I'm not going to allow the company around me to deter me from my mission, which is to serve God and remain faithful to Him. Now you get to Jesus here on the cross in Matthew chapter 27, and we go back to verse 39 and we read through verse 42. And those who passed by derided Him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Now where have we heard that statement and that phrase before? We've heard it before if you go back to Matthew chapter 4, because when the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, two times Satan says, "If you're the Son of God, do this." Challenging Him. Now here are the people. They're wagging their heads. I don't know what all that means. I imagine it might be something like this. Man, oh man, you really got what was coming to you, didn't you? Yeah, if you're the Son of God, why don't you come down from that cross? Now, I don't know that's the way it was. I'm just giving you Chris's, perhaps, interpretation of their wagging their heads and deriding Him. But I do know what they asked. They said, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Now, they're asking that statement is really a statement of disbelief. We really don't believe you're going to do that. Because if they really thought He was going to come down from the cross and that He was the Son of God, they knew they were probably going to be in trouble. And I don't imagine that they were asking in the sense that they believed it was going to happen, because at that point, they knew the day was not going to be good for them. So they're saying this in a derisive way. "If you are the Son of God, you come down from the cross." Ah, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, you made all these big claims. Now look at you, big shot. "You come down from that cross if you're the Son of God." And they derided Him. They made fun of Him. And then you go to verse 41. "So also the chief priests and the scribes and the elders mocked Him, saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save Himself. He is the King of Israel. Let Him come down now from the cross and we will believe Him.'" He did not allow His company to deter Him. If that had been me, I'll tell you what would have happened. Well, I'll tell you this. If it had been me having to be your Savior, you'd be lost. You'd be lost. So I can tell you, I don't know if I could have stood that. I'd have had my feet. We're going to put up with that. I'd have come down. I know me. I know I'm a human and I'm weak and I'm fleshly. And I'm telling you, I would have come down. Jesus says, "My company is not going to deter me. I don't care what insults you throw at me. I don't care if you spit on me. I love you. And I'm going to die for you." How to remain faithful to God? You don't let your company deter you. You don't let them move you from the path that you know you're supposed to be following if you're a Christian. You say, "I've got my eyes locked on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on Him, and I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to be deterred. So if I want to remain faithful to God, I will not allow my circumstances to define me. I will not allow my company to deter me. Number three, I will not allow this world to defeat me. I will not allow this world to defeat me. You know, we said a few moments ago, we're never promised that there aren't going to be obstacles we face in life. The world's going to knock us down. But you have the choice whether or not you're going to get up. The world may be the hammer, but I've decided I'm going to be the anvil. You may beat me, but you're not going to break me. I'm not going to allow this world to defeat me. I go back to Matthew chapter 27, 43 through 44. Here's what they were saying this time. They had said, "He saved others. He cannot save Himself. He is the King of Israel. Let Him come down now from the cross and we will believe in Him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver Him now if He desires Him. For He said, 'I am the Son of God.' And the robbers who were crucified with Him also reviled Him in the same way." Does the world not try to knock us down like that as well? I mean, you think about that. What were they saying? Nobody likes you. You say you're the son of God. Your daddy don't even care about you. If he cared about you, God will deliver him. If he cares, what an insult. What an insult. Nobody likes you. Nobody wants you. How many of us feel like that sometimes? How many of us feel like the pressures of the world have gotten to us so bad that the world is knocking us down a bit that we feel like nobody wants us? That's the message the world's trying to send you. That's the message Satan wants you to get. You're not valuable. Nobody cares. And that's just not true. It's not. God cares. His people care. We love you. I'm not going to allow the world to defeat me. And Jesus didn't allow the world to defeat him now. You can throw your insults. You can do whatever it is that you're going to do to me. I will what? I will rise again. I will rise again. And that's the message that I need to have today. It doesn't matter if the world beats on me. I will rise again. Through the power of God. Now, here's the final thought for us today. If I want to remain faithful to God, I will not allow my circumstances to define me. I will not allow my company to deter me. I will not allow the world to defeat me. But I will allow the Lord to deliver me. The Lord to deliver me. Go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Last words of Jesus. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. The Lord's going to deliver me. And that's what I've got to believe. And that's what I've got to trust in. Will you allow the Lord to deliver you today? Jesus put his faith and trust in his Father. He said, into your hands I commit my spirit. Breathe this last. Are you willing to turn your life over to God? And as you think about turning your life over to God, will you determine to be faithful to him? Not allowing all of these things to take you off the path and off of the mark that leads to salvation. Today, if you're not a Christian, we want to beg and plead with you to become a Christian. And if it's the case that you've allowed your circumstances to define you, or you've allowed your company to deter you, or you've allowed this world to beat you down to the point that you feel almost defeated, it's time now for you to rise again. It's time for you to turn your life over to God and allow Him to deliver you. He'll forgive you of whatever sin it is you've committed in your life. He will set you on the right path. He'll bring you safely home in the end if you'll be faithful to Him. So today, if you need to respond to the invitation, we want to beg and plead with you to do that. Make your life right with God. And do so now while together we stand and sing invitation.